Good evening. I'll call the Tuesday, May 20th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman DeAndrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayor is...
Excused. I'll be late.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Here.
Please rise and join us with the Pledge of Allegiance. And just a reminder, please turn your cell phones to vibrate, please. Leroy. I now open a citizen's comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak on any item? Please come forward and give your name and address, as you've done before.
Good evening. Ken Stannis, 10515 West St. Martin's Road.
Go ahead. It's all yours.
Oh.
It's all yours.
Okay. First off, I have an answer for a statement you made last time that we all have to pay for our water at the last meeting. Wasn't bright enough to pick up on it, but we actually paid for our water to over $7,000 to have our well put in. So I understand having to pay for that. I think what I've learned from these last three or four meetings that we've had on this is that the necessity for this thing lies with the people on the west side of the street. Started out with a few hundred, now from those numbers, and last it's into the thousands. But the responsibility lies with the three people on the east side of the street. And I ask him, does that seem fair to you? I mean, I don't understand how that equation. I understand that everybody's supposed to pay for the pipe coming into the front of the across the front of your property. But the benefits doesn't seem to outweigh the equation. Another question, I was wondering if those folks that are going to be the recipient of all these benefits, have they ever been approached or informed about what's taking place here today?
You want to finish and then I'll respond if you'd like. Or you want the answer to your question as to whether they've been... The benefit is to actually all of the people in the water utility because it completes a loop.
Oh, I understand that.
So it provides a safety net for everybody. So the direct answer to your question is no, I don't think Mr. Bennett's let everybody in the water utility know that we're thinking of doing this.
No?
I think if
they were approached or questioned and asked to spend maybe a one-time shot of $150 or $160 to ensure their water supply and no brownouts and the rest of that, and knowing what is going on here or what's taking place, maybe they might volunteer to do something like that or be a little bit more sympathetic.
Okay.
That's about it.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Yes, sir.
Joe Smith, 10523 West St. Martin's Road. The way I look at it, the city of Franklin needs this pipe. Okay? They want us to pay $10,000 footage. The reason is you're putting a lateral into our properties. Yet that's the excuse for us paying the $10,000. And we don't need the lateral. If you want to put the pipe in, put the pipe in. But we don't need the lateral. If I need a lateral, I can have it done. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Lewandowski, name and address, please.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I want to make a note of item number 5, acceptance of a proposal from Kuchawa Enterprise for mowing and fertilizing West Rawson Avenue Boulevard. Seems rather unusual that we're doing that when we don't even have the authority, or do we have the authority, to do county boulevards? It seems unusual. If we're going to do that, why isn't the DPW involved in it? We got a problem down there, too. But I just can't see why we are working on county property. There's no reason to do that. Thank you.
It's a fair question. The answer is that's part of the development agreement with Devo Properties and the Sendix store, and there is an agreement in place to permit it and actually require it. So, yeah.
The Sendix is paying.
Sendix pays for it, not the taxpayers. So we don't want DPW doing it, because that would cost us money. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Seeing none, I'll close the citizen comment period. Item E1, boards and commissions appointments. I'm sorry, we forgot to do the minutes. C1, at your place, there is a revised minutes. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
On the revision to the revision, E1S, if you recall, you made it more personal to the appointment, and I said, correction, Mayor, I'm pointing out a particular seat, but I'd like all appointments on the Plan Commission held until further determination of the seats. So I would correct that to read as how I stated it versus how it's stated.
Madam Clerk, got it? Okay. Is there a motion in there?
I'll move as corrected.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. Now we'll go to E1, Boards and Commissions Appointments. 1A, Patty Hogan to Plan Commission. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
Discussion? Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Aye.
5-0, motion carries. Former Alderman Wilhelm is here. Wilhelm, jeez. Hogan is here in the back. So congratulations. We'll see you Thursday night, or someone will see you Thursday night. Item E1B, Scott Thinnes, Plan Commission.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
5-0, motion carries. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Council. Item 1B, a reappointment. Kevin Haley to, well, I'm going to call him reappointment. Reconfirmation. Kevin Haley, Plan Commission.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Alderman D'Andrea.
I had one question regarding Scott Thinnes. It says unexpired 3-year term, so his goes until next year.
He is taking the appointment as of 4:30.
Okay.
So yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. On the motion for Kevin Haley for confirmation, Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
5-0, motion carries. David Kucharski is Alderwoman Mayer's appointment to the Board of Review.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Excuse me, I'm sorry, Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Just a comment on the Board of Review. I think the appointments have been excellent, and several have been through training this past week, and it looks like quality board review, so thank you for your appointments. And I'm still looking for appointments to other boards and commissions, so there you go. Item F1, in your packet, there's a letter from Chief of Police Oliva giving a status from the enactment of our Chapter 167, which is our sex offender residency restrictions. You can see that 2013 was a busy year, and our police department was very effective in preventing sex offenders from moving to the city that did not belong here. 2014 appears to be off to a banner start as well. I'm proud to say that we have a chief that fully supports that law, and he's got a staff that's very aggressive and diligent in doing their jobs. And I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that the city attorney has won the only case in the state prosecuting this, this ordinance. Thank you much.
It was the first one since that time. There has been one other which went to the Court of Appeals, which was upheld, and I believe that was out of Pewaukee.
And that's our model ordinance, too, I think.
Most of the state pattern there is after the city of Franklin ordinance.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Questions? Alderman Schmidt?
Motion to place a letter on file.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item G1, reports and recommendations, resolution imposing conditions and restrictions. I'm a trained broadcaster, by the way. Conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a commercial cleaning and cleaning building and cleaning service use at a property located at 8581 South 27th Street. Mr. Tito.
Thank you. This is a special use, and the Plan Commission did review this matter at their last Plan Commission meeting, recommended approval. I can go into more detail if you wish. Just briefly, the applicant, Spot Free Cleaning, wishes to move into an existing building. They're not proposing any exterior changes, and there is a shared parking with the adjacent property to the south between the property they already, the parking they already have on this property with the property to the south that they share parking with that addresses staff's concerns about parking.
Alderwoman Evans.
Oh, I'll make that motion to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Alderwoman Wilhelm.
I know there was some discussion on the one area for parking. I looked back on maps as far as I could get my computer to push it. It looks like back as far as I go, 63, it was pavement at that time. So it's not a new issue, and it probably will be taken care of in the future.
Although, and I agree, it's been there since at least that far. We thought the potential for safety issues and that there was a special use in the grant of the city the ability to address a situation like this if it so chose. That's why we brought it up as a recommendation.
63, anywhere of any safety issues up until this day?
Not that I'm aware of, other than that there is those metal posts with the reflectors on there, and I wonder why they were put up there. Just driving by, it appears to me like somebody thought it would be safer to put something like that up to demarcate where that parking lot in the right-of-way is. So staff's still comfortable with our recommendation, but the Plan Commission didn't agree.
Mr. City Attorney.
Oh, just a short punch list. Subject matter was, as I understand it, roughly an area of asphalt approximating to the area of 2 to 3 parking spaces lengthwise at the near the road in the right-of-way. No survey was done, but staff thought it might be in the right-of-way. The state's the supposed property owner. It is 27th Street, U.S. Highway 41. At the Plan Commission meeting, staff mentioned that. Staff recommendation was to, as a condition of approval of the special use, to have the property owner remove the asphalt and those metal pipes that are in there and replace it with simply grass. The area is within proposed expansion and reconstruction of South 27th Street. So when that does occur, and we're all aware of the Department of Transportation changing timetables on that. However, that is the area where the expansion would occur. So regardless if it's grass or remains asphalt that comes out as part of the expansion. Staff reviewed the local code, found no provision on that. Recalled, I believe, one circumstance where that was a condition. A different area of the city. The basis for that more went to aesthetics The subject area, subject of aesthetics, was not raised during the public hearing by staff or by the citizens who spoke at the public hearing or by plan commissioners. There's no issue of drainage, as I understand it, as oftentimes you have ditches in the right-of-way. That was not raised at all at the meeting. Staff did indicate there was a contact by staff to the State Department of Transportation.
Never got a hold of anyone who knew anything about the matter.
Well, I understood from the meeting that there was no responsive call. I was asked at the meeting something along the lines of, what do you think about this? And I simply said it's been there since 1963. The arithmetic in my head told me that's a half a century. I understood the existing building to be there approximately that time. Maybe somebody said 40 years. There's been how many businesses occupying that premise since then. It's been vacant for a year and a half. There is no proposed new development whatsoever. The last time staff required a condition where public right-of-way be improved, it was new development, put up a new building, et cetera, et cetera. None of that is occurring here. It's just a new tenant occupying. And building's been vacant for a year and a half. It is a zoned business. There was a lengthy query by one of the neighboring property owners that one might reasonably assume the property owner was not in favor of it. There was another property owner who spoke at the public hearing who said she's resided neighboring residence with her husband for 60 years, I believe, 50 for sure, and was totally in favor of it. So I put all that together, and I did not see it as any way unreasonable for the plan commission to remove that condition.
Alderwoman Evans.
I don't know that the first resident that spoke, the first neighbor, was necessarily not in favor of it. I think possibly they just didn't understand what was going on with the new occupant. I guess we can't presume, but that's how I heard it. But
any other discussion? Alderman Schmidt.
Well, this whole piece of property is roughly a car and a half length width, so it's a very small patch. It blends in with all the rest of the asphalt going down from that property to the adjoining property. It looks very much as it should, and I think we're reaching a point of overkill on this little piece of asphalt.
Thank you. Alderman Dandridge.
Just a little, that one person that spoke owns the property but isn't the tenant there. She's a property owner, but she's not occupying the property. That's there.
It's been moved and properly seconded. Any further conversation? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to approve signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G2, an ordinance to amend the municipal code as it pertains to deferred. Excuse me, Alderman May.
I'm sorry, can we just adjust G4?
Certainly. With the council's permission, item G4, resolution awarding contract in the amount of $117,000 to Wanasek. Mr. City Engineer.
Recommending that this be tabled.
Is there a motion to table? Until what time?
Until next meeting.
Second.
We do have a time.
Well, I'll make the motion to table.
Yeah. There is a motion. Yeah, now there is. Is there a second?
I second.
Any discussion of that motion?
Can I ask why are we tabling?
Mr. City Attorney.
Again, I'll try the short version.
Okay.
At the last meeting, the subject item was before the Common Council. Question arose with a related item with regard to special assessments that citizens have been speaking on, whether or not the aldermen for the affected districts were advised by staff as to the detail of it, because back on March 4th, the Common Council tabled the special assessment item until the aldermen for the affected districts brought it back. With regard to the bid item on the March 4th agenda, Common Council tabled that to staff to bring back before the bid expired. what happened at the last meeting was it turned out that there was no contact of any substance by staff to educate the aldermen for the affected districts. So that's why it was put over to this meeting. And on Wednesday, frankly, I had an unrelated meeting with one of the aldermen for the affected districts. I found out that there still had been no staff contact since that time, so I followed up on it. And by the end of Thursday, that still hadn't occurred. So I kind of pushed it right up to the limit Friday afternoon, which is one of the reasons for further deferral consideration. But one of the aldermen for the affected district said not enough information yet, part of which would be provided under the presentation under G4, which I assume engineering is not saying to table to the next meeting. And that information will assist the aldermen for the affected district to consider whether or not to bring back the companion special assessment item so they're actually both together on the agenda. And the aldermen for the affected districts can make an informed judgment on what to do. So the staff recommendation, as I understood it, was to table the award of the bid. As of yesterday, another extension was obtained from Wanasek Corporation until June 6th, so it could be considered at the June 2 Common Council meeting. But that last sentence, the subject matter, will include engineering department presentation. I understand staff recommends that city engineer do that at this meeting. Am I wrong?
I think the reason for delaying this is the ordinance that's being proposed gives the alderman a second choice of whether to assess the property or not, and that you have on the agenda for tonight is a second method by which the council can use, which would be to defer the assessment indefinitely. And with that, then you have an alternative whether you assess the property as per the assessment report that was submitted by the city engineer's office, or to defer the assessment indefinitely. So you have a choice. And by deferring it to the next meeting, you'll have that choice if you adopt the ordinance tonight. And that ordinance also would allow the extension by special assessment of Evergreen Drive. We could talk about that shortly.
I have a concern with this particular issue that the neighbors don't clearly understand the process of deferral, what it means to them, their finances, and their lives. Nor am I certain that everyone understands the need for this particular stub of water main. I don't even know if Alderwoman Mayer is fully up to speed on this, so I would, and it's bad for Wanasek, but sometimes these are things that happen. But I would like to see a little bit more communication with the neighbors. And the fact that they are going to get 10 years before the clock even starts.
I wish we could have a meeting with the neighbors before the next meeting. And maybe the aldermen at the same time.
I think that would be
a great
idea.
That would be a wise thing.
Can we have a presentation?
Would you like to do your presentation on the contract?
I don't really think that's necessary if you...
On that?
Mr. Benton.
Yes, Alderwoman Mayer had asked me to submit to her and the rest of the aldermen what the Board of Water Commissioners had a study done in 2009 relative to a master plan for the water system and where this master plan focused. And I guess I can.
We're going to.
Thank you.
southwest portion of the community. The master plan basically shows for the extension of water main on Ryan Road, on Oakwood Road, and on 92nd Street, and 76th Street, 92nd Street, and then around the area of...
Hey, Jack, Carol Merrill, turn the other way.
Thank you. Loomis Road, 116th Street area, and this is the area that you have to look at for business parks in the future, and 116th Street and Loomis Road, these would be the main transmission mains to serve that area in the future, when and if it develops. And that that's part of the Board of Water Commissioners' master plan.
Mr. Bennett, that stub T4 on Pewes Road, that was, what, 300 feet?
Yeah, 440.
How much, 440?
Oh, this one, yeah, about this one, this piece is about 300 feet.
It wasn't much. And that was paid for by?
That was special assessed for the abutting property owner and the oversized paid for by the connection fee and impact fee.
What did the booster station, what area is that serving? In that T4 area?
Both booster stations serve the west side of the community. They don't have a particular area. They both pump into the west side of the city.
Okay.
And the reason for the Pewes Road booster station was more for reliability, because we only had one booster station that served the west side of the community, and if we would have had a fire or something in that, we would lose service.
So what do you mean by the west side of the community? There's a lot of west side. So give me a general area.
Easy to explain, kind of west of the Root River.
Okay.
And it does jog around, but if you're going to 60th Street or the Root River, it's pretty much the division between the east side and the west side. It jogs around quite a little bit. So the booster stations pump the water. The east side of the community floats on the Oak Creek system. And we have the 2-million-gallon tank, and it floats. And that's the same elevation as the Oak Creek tower. And then there's 65 feet difference in tower elevation between the east side and the west side. And the west side tower is the one that's out here by the city hall. And that feeds the west side, everything basically west of the Root River. And initially we had what we call the Drexel Avenue pump station, and that pumped the water up to the west side of the community. And then we built the Pewes Road, which is a redundant system. And that also pumps the water up. So if one would fail, the other one would take over.
Is there a map where these pumping, what routes they take? Do you know which pumping station is pumping which area?
Drexel Avenue booster station is located at 58th and Drexel Avenue. The Chiefs Road Booster Station is located at 76 Chiefs Road. And then we have distribution mains completely that go to the west. And the piece that we're missing, that there's no reliable main in between except for this piece here. If this piece breaks, we have a break in this piece, we lose the whole west side. So, again, the booster station is here. The booster station is here. We take water from four places, but this one place is very localized on Hughes Road. We take water from the Ryan Road booster meter pit. We take it from the Drexel and from the Ross. And that's the water to go with. This area right now off of Hughes just served one subdivision to the west, but eventually this will be the main transmission main in the city. It'll
be a 24-inch main. That's a big, big main.
So show me where this loop is going to feed then. As you showed us where the cutoff point for the one is, the breaks, but
the loop feeds.
Check. Thank you.
The loop feeds this area right through here. It's up and down here. This area here. I can figure it out. This is what the loop feeds.
I want to see the loop feed line, the water main line, where it's running. I want to see where the water is flowing in the ground.
Right here.
Okay.
And then it goes
that's
this way.
The only connection we have across to the west side.
Okay, so when you put the loop in, then the water is going to flow where? To where?
Water will flow up through, and here we have a second connection. So the water can flow, we put this little piece in here, the water can flow up Chapel Hill Drive, up through, and go up through the west side.
So basically bypassing the one that's on Drexel.
Yeah, it would be a secondary to that, yes.
Okay.
They're all connected together.
Well, I understand that. I just no one's ever showed me how it's supposed to be bypassing what. I mean, we need this three for this bypass, but where is it flowing?
It's not a bypass.
Well,
it's a loop.
Okay.
You try to loop the water mains. Sanitary sewers, you don't loop the water mains, you try to loop. So you got to bring pressure in from two different directions.
See, what it said differently, the water stops there,
yeah.
And then it goes up and around and back down here. Well, what Jack wants to do is tie that together so that you get a big loop that serves all of that from two different locations.
And as far as you know,
took us how many means to get to that?
Well, if you look at the reports we have, we don't really have any timings on any of this. This is pretty much when it's needed. Now, St. Martin's Road is supposed to be, I just got a letter today that this county is looking at repaving St. Martin's Road. We've been, I think, talking about that for a little while. Well, we got a formal letter that they want to go to have an agreement with the city to do a jurisdictional transfer on St. Martin's Road and to reconstruct it. And they want a commitment to do it to Trans 75, which would mean a sidewalk and bikeway, so they can use state funds. So that's a decision that'll have to come to the council. But if St. Martin's Road is reconstructed, at that time you may want to make a decision whether you put the water main in before or after, but that would be up to council. You don't necessarily have to put the water main in before the road is reconstructed. But this would, the letter that we have from the county, if they do it, they want to do it with Trans 75 funds, which means a bike path and site funds. And they want to start out that way so they know that that's going to happen. But that comes into play that if you do want to put the water main in advance, it may be as close as 1 or 2 years before St. Martin's Road is repaved.
Any other questions for the city engineer?
Well, I guess I have a question.
Oh, well. Will help.
So if you put those... the three homes section in, and then the road is redone, and then you're going to end up doing more of the finish that section when the road goes in?
I don't know. That's going to be the decision of the council.
I mean, that would be your recommendation? If right now, if it were to come up today, you would suggest it that way?
I don't really have a recommendation. But we did not on North Cape Road because there is really no water up in North Cape Road. This is on the edge of the service area for water. And I think it had to be a decision. I think you'd want to maybe bring the property owners together and talk about it like we did on 76th Street.
I guess what I'm getting at is if the road's going to be redone and you're going to be assessing everyone, could you defer the three homes, because this is more of a citywide issue, till the time when everyone else gets assessed, and then their 10-year assessment starts the same time as everyone else on the road?
With this new ordinance that Jesse has adopted, it gives the council a lot of flexibility on what they want.
Oh, man. You get authority now.
So it does give you flexibility on how you assess and when you're going to assess. And if you want to deferment until they connect, I mean, it gives you some flexibility. I think there is some problems that are associated with flexibility, because you generally want to treat all people alike, and if you start fooling with special assessments, you're going to people are going to want to know why one group was treated one way and another group was treated another way. So in the past, we have not varied what the special assessment called.
Well, my question was more related to leaving the three homeowners basically sit and not having theirs kick in till everyone on St. Martin's kicks in.
They wouldn't have to pay anything for 10 years, no interest, no payments.
Right, but if the other homeowners along the same street don't get the road until 2 years, by not having the three people here take upon that right now, they would actually get an extra more 2 years off of it.
I don't think you can afford to do that.
Okay.
You didn't do that on 76th Street. You assessed the people right away for the water main. You did not defer it at all. And that's the decision to make. But I don't think you have funds available to put the water main all the way to Forest Home Avenue along St. Martin's Road.
Wouldn't the ordinance that says defer indefinitely be actually worse than deferring it for 2 years plus 10 years?
I'm going to play parliamentarian here and open meetings law guy and say this conversation ought to be had when we go back to item 2, the deferral conversation. This conversation ought to be centered on the water service and the Wanasek bid.
Well,
please.
The actual bid is part of it, isn't it?
Well, deferment is. Sorry about that.
Fine. Just trying to understand the situation. Yeah, I mean, we keep putting it on the agenda, but no one really wants to talk about it.
I do too. We'll talk about it all night if you want. Okay, so the motion on the table is to table the award of the contract for Wanasek Corp. To be clear, that's to allow the city engineer and the two aldermen of the district to meet with the three homeowners.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Correct.
And then we'll have this on the agenda for the June 3rd meeting. Any other discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Let's go back to item, excuse me, Mr. City Attorney.
Just one point of procedure. Going back to the March 3rd deferral. Postponement is the correct word, not tabling. Of the subject special assessment until the aldermen for the affected districts bring it back, that still stands. So at least procedurally where it is right now, the aldermen for the affected districts could decide not to bring it back, so the bid would come back again, and then it would be up to the common council whether or not to do it with or without a special assessment. So you might not see for the third time special assessment item back on the June 3 agenda, just the bid one.
Okay. Item G2, an ordinance amend the municipal code as a pertains to deferment of payment of special assessments. Without offering an opinion on this, this is my attempt at a mediation. Mr. City Engineer.
I've talked to the city attorney, and to do what we're proposing to do for Evergreen Extension, the council needs some more flexibility in special assessments. This, of course, then could be used in other cases, like the case on St. Martin's Road. You could defer it until they connect it, or indefinitely, or you could defer it until the rest of the, I don't know how you do that, the rest of the sewers go on to St. Martin's Road. I think that would be difficult to do. But this would give the council some flexibility, because right now there is not much flexibility as far as deferment goes.
Okay. All right. The ordinance in front of you, drafted by the city attorney at my instruction, in essence defers payment until such time as the land is conferred or building occurs on it. Isn't that of it all?
Or connecting to it.
Or connect it. Now, frankly, I had this done so that we'd have something to talk about, because I know the folks on St. Martin's Road have an issue. I don't particularly see the Evergreen extension as having an issue, because they're going to get a deferment until they build, and as soon as that road goes in, I'm pretty sure they're going to start building something. So I don't see that to be an issue, personally. So the net of this is do we want to make special exception? In your email to this afternoon or early this morning, you received an email from Mr. Liberta. He composed that email at my request, and it seems like I'm on both sides of this. I'm on both sides of this intentionally, because I want everybody to talk about this. And Mr. Liberta, who works with me and the city engineer, we're the implementers. You guys are the decision makers. And frankly, just to summarize Mr. Liberta's position, and frankly, pretty much mine, you start doing these deferments, you'll never see the end of them, and they'll be a nightmare to administer. So having said that, I'm interested in discussion on the ordinance, Mr. City Attorney.
This literally started after a discussion with the city engineer Friday morning, amongst all the other items, three agendas going out. And the concept was, at least to current, the West Evergreen Street Extension proposal, city engineer in the action sheet was mentioning that the special assessment would be due and payable upon, number one, new construction on those vacant lands, or number two, upon a sale. And we had a discussion starting late Thursday when I saw it into Friday morning, because I didn't think the local code allowed for that. So that was one reason. And then at the same time, there was this loop project which specially benefits three properties, but primary purpose is to provide a safety valve in the water system for nearly the entire western part of the city. The primary purpose of West Evergreen Street Extension is to provide access to the world to Pleasant View Park. It's not singularly to provide water service to these particular properties or to provide sewer service for these particular properties. So on the run, tried to put together an ordinance where you have a relatively unique circumstance where there's a much larger primary purpose, and legally there is no question in my mind that if water is available in front of your house since day one of special assessment law, you are legally benefited. But there's a bigger picture here, and so you take that type of project, put it on the side, maybe this is the type of deferment that could be granted for it the way it's written here. Same with the West Evergreen Street Extension. There's a much bigger picture there than simply providing road, sewer, and water to maybe five new lots. So the concept was, when there's this bigger primary purpose for nearly citywide public good, even though special benefit does occur to properties adjacent to that new public improvement, perhaps that's appropriate where there be a lengthier deferment. So that's the concept. With regard to the language, it troubled me because it's somewhat vague, and I can see down the road. I vaguely recall maybe one out of 30, 40 special assessment projects in the last 20 years where there weren't serious concerns by property owners who were opposed to the project. It's the nature of special assessment projects. And you put a new deferment in there, and then the argument's going to be, well, why not me, why not me? So you like it to be perfectly worded. And the argument will be, well, really this street is going up for this new development a half mile down the road, and that's why the sewer and water is going in, so why don't we get that type of deferment? So that was the staff concern, and everybody I talked to on Friday says it does open that door. I think these two projects, if it were utilized for that, are relatively unique. I didn't read the entirety of the Director of Administration's email, but I said right out of the gate this could open the door, and the city engineer acknowledged that. I think you can keep a record, and it always will be up to the Common Council, and I'm not seeing any arguments down the road that the Common Council would have to apply that deferment. It just doesn't fit into special assessment. So all that being said, the earlier item was just tabled. This one right now, in conjunction with Evergreen, which is another item, that's a preliminary resolution. Preliminary resolution, well, the city engineer mentions on the action sheet what he was intending for special assessments. That doesn't happen until a final resolution. Since staff had maybe about 2.5 hours since late Friday morning to work on this, maybe this should be put over to the next meeting too and see if we can come up with a brilliant solution to make it more definite, unless the Common Council likes it the way it is or unless the Common Council doesn't like it. So that's one thought. And just following up on deferments and the subject matter of perhaps property owners of St. Martin's involved in the loop, wait till it goes down St. Martin's Avenue. What the city engineer, the essence of what he meant was water shows up at where Hodak Petroleum is located all the way down to Forest Home Avenue. There's special assessments for water along the street to the adjoining property owners. Those special assessments will be pay 1/12 of the total amount this year on your tax bill. Pay another one. It's your pay right out of the gate. The proposed 10-year deferment without interest is very liberal. That's the most liberal deferment in the code already. So if you wait, then the argument's going to be, why do the three property owners get to wait for 10 years and everybody else has to start paying immediately? So that's the short version. And final point, with regard to this new proposed ordinance, compare it to the 10-year deferral. 10 years, no interest, et cetera. This one is based on a transfer, and just in theory, who knows what happens? What if you have to sell your property? What if something happens and it gets passed on and transferred to relatives and the like? That could occur in 2 years. That could occur tomorrow. So maybe it's sooner. Maybe it doesn't occur for 20 years, but it's not necessarily extending it beyond that 10-year deferment. So that's everything I know.
Alderwoman Wilhelm, I'll get it.
So I may have drifted a little bit trying to follow all that. So let me run a situation past you and see if I'm understanding this. A person's father owns a 40-acre parcel, and the 40-acre parcel is going to be sold. Say, I'm the daughter. I want to buy the parcel. I buy the parcel. under the ordinance, would I now have the opportunity to have it 10-year and the opportunity to for it to kick in immediately, and that would be based on the city council's decision? Or how? What makes that decision, because now we have other options in the code? Because we're not eliminating the 10-year, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so now we have more than one option. So in the scenario I'm talking about, I take ownership of this property, and then it becomes immediately due to me right away under this particular one. And how would I know if this would apply versus the 10-year? And you know, okay.
I could answer this, but go ahead.
Because I believe it was your parents in your hypothetical, or your parent, would have been specially assessed for the property, and it would have been deferred under this particular section, which meant that when the property was transferred to you, there would be no alternatives. It would immediately become due and payable, and it would not be a lump sum, though. City engineer could correct me. It would be that 12 payments, but that would commence forthwith on the transfer, the next tax bill.
Okay, so it all doesn't come due. I don't even put all of it down, but the situation is set up based on the parent has to have that language. But who makes that decision based on original? Okay, and then we have. But what helps us in making that decision? What, you know, what's the guidelines and why we would give one particular family the 10-year and one particular family come immediately due and deferred until? What's the guidelines?
I actually didn't study the 10-year. That was already applied here. But what I said earlier about the primary singular purpose being citywide with the collateral result of special benefit would have to be the category of the project to fit into this proposed amendment.
It's got to be relatively unique public project undertaken for the primary purpose other than the specified provision of the public improvement for the benefit of the subject property. So it's got to be, there's a park over here, your property's here, and the water main's over here.
Or the city attorney helps us work us through that answer at the time when that comes up, right?
Yeah, but by that time you've got public policy in place. And Mr. Liberta.
I'm just saying, it's pretty clear in the language, so I think a future city attorney would see those requirements there. But it just couldn't be broadly used for any road project. It would have to be something where you've got a primary purpose. If you're going to run a stretch of water a half mile to open up a new industrial park somewhere, for example, we're doing it because of this, and we're going to defer that stretch. So those kinds of things, you've got to have a primary purpose that's not to serve those people on that stretch.
One other issue, and then I'll do the city attorney again. There is a financial component to this that hasn't been spoken about, but it does cost the city money if you defer payments. And as Mr. Ratzenberg issued an email to the effect, we're going to run out of water fund money real quick if we start doing this more than once, if we do it once. So, Mr. City Attorney.
Only that my primary concern after this was done on Friday when I said about opening doors, that was my example to the city engineer, and I'm not going to wake up the echoes with other projects, but I would say half mile extension of water, because there's a future business park at the end of it, does serve in conjunctive primary purpose all the abutting properties. And so property owners would stand up and say, why doesn't this apply? Your city administrator interprets that way, which is why I'd like to have more time to see if there is some better language. I did have the assistant city attorney look at it also for half an hour on Friday afternoon, which I rarely do, and he couldn't come up with anything on the run there either. Better than that, but that's my concern. That's my only concern about this provision, is that it gets interpreted that way. But it still would be up to the Common Council, because it's within the Common Council's reasonable discretion as to whether or not to defer at all, et cetera, et cetera. And the special assessment law is simply that the cost must be a result of the property being benefited, that that cost is reasonably apportioned amongst all the properties benefited. In other words, if the cost is $10, there's 10 properties, they're all the same size, everybody is apportioned a dollar, and that it's made on a reasonable basis, which for water has been found legally to be front foot basis. And those, that's the realm of law, not whether or not a council has to grant a deferment, at least so far anyway.
Mr. Dandrew, Alderman Dandrew, excuse me.
In, I'm glad you brought up the financial element to it, because what's going to happen is every citizen or property owner that owns a piece of property is going to be paying for these deferments over time. So the
current
ones that
customers
have already paid all their dues, we're going to pay again for these special exceptions and these deferments. So granted, we could be nice to some groups of people, some parties, but every property owner in this that owns a property in Franklin is going to pay down the road for these assessments, because we've got to come up with the money somewhere, because we're going to do a project. We have to finance it. I don't know how we're going to finance it, but we'll find a way. But there's going to be interest accrual that'll be deferred, and we're going to there's going to be an expense that we're going to pay, and we're going to, and everybody else is going to pay for it. So, is that correct? I'm assuming that that would be the way it would be.
Mr. City Attorney.
The Director of Finance and Treasurer is not here, but I talked to him late Friday afternoon, and he would not be in favor of this because of the financial aspect, and I don't want to, one of the aldermen mentioned to me today that there's some line about there's money to cover particular project, and what it does say is the deferment's covered, meaning, you know, there's money there for that, but the money has to come from somewhere, and it anticipates a deferment.
Alderwoman Evans.
I would like to make a motion to deny the adoption of an ordinance to amend the municipal code as it pertains to deferment of payment of special assessments.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second to the motion
to deny. Seeing none, the motion dies due to lack of second. Is there another motion regarding this item?
I have a question.
Yes, Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Does not passing this affect our ability to move forward with G3? I think the answer is no, but I just want to make sure.
The answer is no.
Okay. Not to move ahead with G3, but to do the final resolution for G3 after the public hearing, you would need to, if you want to defer the assessment, you would need something of this order, but you wouldn't need it at this point. You could still move ahead with G3, because
right,
it says the council shall determine the method of payment.
Then I'll move to
Doug, pull yours down a little bit, too. There you go. Thanks.
Okay.
Alderwoman Wilhelm has
the motion
floor.
Was to table the ordinance to amend the municipal code as it pertains to a deferment of payment, the special assessment, in order to give the city attorney more time to review the language and bring it back to the council on June 3rd. If we don't like it, we can deny it at that point.
Is there a second to the motion?
That's not part of the motion. Just stop at the June 3rd.
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the table signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. We're just screaming through here. G3, preliminary resolution declaring intent to exercise special assessment powers pursuant to 207.15 the municipal code and section 660701 of the stats for installation of sanitary sewer water main, sanitary sewer laterals, water main laterals, the extension of a public street, including curb and gutter, along the necessary appurtenances on West Evergreen Street extension from a point 800 feet east of South 51st Street to 1360 feet south, east of South 51st Street. Mr. City Engineer.
Mr. Mayor, we were directed to proceed with the extension of Evergreen Street, and what's going to happen is that where I show the red line, this will benefit the abutting property owners. And if we would install these without special assessment, they would be able to take advantage of these at the city paying for the full cost of the improvements. I did set up a meeting with the attorney that represents the owners of this whole parcel and their realtor, Nancy Grinches, and we met with them, and they're pretty comfortable with a special assessment. They would have a very difficult time, in my opinion, to extend Evergreen Street themselves because they cannot, because of the wetlands and the setbacks from the wetlands, they can't take advantage of this portion of the street, nor because of this wetland here and the secondary environmental corridor here. And you can't see the lines very easy, but there's also a floodplain that runs up through here. So this area is not buildable. They could not afford to extend this road themselves because they'd have to pay for all of this, plus the area that would be abutting this lot. So it's probably a real advantage for the city, for them, for the property owners, for the city of Franklin extending this. And this is the only way we can get access to Pleasant View Park. And I put the street in so you can see pretty much. This is 51st Street. 51st Street is back here, but this end would extend into Pleasant View Park, and the park would be developed. So we would recommend that adopting the preliminary resolution, and you note in the preliminary resolution that when you adopt the final resolution, you determine the method of special assessment. So with the preliminary resolution, you don't determine the method of special assessment, but they will all get notice of the public hearing. Now, in this case, we met with the people, but most regularly, the public hearing is the time that people find out about what the proposal is, and we send notice, registered letters out to everybody that's assessed so they can come to a public hearing. The owners of this property, which are two older ladies, one living in England and the other living in the Milwaukee area, they will probably be represented by their attorney and their realtor, but they would, and I'll be sure their attorney and realtor gets a notice of the public hearing. But we would recommend adopting this so the city has the ability to assess this that will benefit the property. But you can get one or two lots. You can get one lot here and you get two lots here. Then, so they would have either four or five lots that they would be able to develop.
So just to be clear, this is to adopt a preliminary resolution. This is not to award, not to go out for bids, not to award anything. This is just a preliminary resolution for special assessment. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
I'll make the motion to adopt the resolution, a preliminary resolution declaring intent to exercise special assessment powers granted by Section 207-15 of the Municipal Code and Section 66.0701 of the state statutes for installation of sanitary sewer water main, sanitary sewer laterals, water main laterals, the extension of a public street, including curb and gutter along the necessary apertures on West Evergreen Street extension from a point 800 feet east of South 55th Street to a point 1,360 feet east of South 51st Street, and set a public hearing date for 6/17/2014 at 6:30 p.m.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting a preliminary resolution to set the public hearing date, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We already tabled G4, so we'll move to G5. Acceptance of a proposal from Kujawa Enterprises, KEI, for mowing and fertilizing Morrison Avenue. Mr. Bennett, I'll do this one real quick. As we mentioned in the public comments section, this is paid for under a development agreement. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Can we switch from granular, which ends up in the roadway and doesn't stay on, to the liquid spray? That would be much preferred, because that's all going to end up in the street and the storm sewer. And
is there a motion? That's yours, isn't it?
Motion to authorize staff to execute the attached proposal from Kajawa Enterprise, Inc., KEI, dated February 27, 2014, for mowing and fertilizing Ross and Avenue Boulevards for the 2014 season, subject to the receipt of certificate of insurance, and to authorize staff to annually approve such purchase of services agreement, provided appropriations for this purpose have been set forth in the approved budget, with the added negotiations for liquid versus granular application.
Second.
Okay, just to be clear now, this gives staff the authority to go ahead and do this every year without council approval, which I'm okay with. Any other discussion on the motion?
Yes.
Every
year, for how long should we have other, because this is specifies a specific type of weed control, and what if that becomes not the appropriate one, or it's banned, or, you know, so, yeah.
You made the motion.
Well, and I'll add to that with adjustments to proper broadleaf herbicide as needed by standards.
Mr. Liberta has to say. Mr. Liberta.
The way it was written, if I were to interpret this from the administrative standpoint, it says such purchase of services agreement provided appropriation. So provided we're within the appropriation amount, we're going to use the professional judgment of the management people and just administer it. We're failing to keep the median to the standard that you're looking for, then you have to figure out a different way to do it, or bring back more a larger contract for we need, so we need more intensive. So we'll use Jerry and his staff, who already manage a lot of property, and see that it's going to oversee that they're giving us a proper proposal to be such purchase of service agreement that fits within the group. So it would be administratively herbicide type comes out, he's free to be able to move that.
And where does it say that? Just because
I think that fits into annual approved such purchase and service agreement. So,
well, I'm going to let someone else make the motion. I'm going to withdraw my motion. Someone else can make it.
I'll make the motion.
Which is?
It's your area mostly anyway.
So that's written on the council action sheet?
Yes, a motion to authorize staff to execute the attached proposal for Kajawa Enterprises, dated February 27, 2014, for mowing and fertilizing Rawson Avenue Boulevards for the 2014 season, subject to receipt of a certificate of insurance, and to authorize staff to annually approve such purpose of services agreement, provided appropriations for this purpose have been set forth in the approved budget.
Granular or liquid?
Your preference is moves. Is there a second to the
second.
Motion? Thank you very much. We're killing this one. Any further discussion?
Is that going to be included with the liquid?
That'll go to staff as an understanding.
Okay.
We get nodding.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Items G6, position description, city engineer, director of public works, and authorized execution of a professional service agreement to commence recruitment. Mr. Liberta.
This position description did go to the personnel committee last night as...
excuse me, one second. Was there a second to that last motion?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. Sorry, Mr. Liberta.
Okay. This position description did go to the personnel committee last night for their consideration, and they did recommend approval of it in the format that was provided to you. In summary, for the citizens in the room, the consideration was, part of the discussion was whether the city engineer, director of public works, could sort of be bifurcated and split multiple conditions. Documentation for communities of our similar size was provided that shows the majority of communities are actually operating in a fashion where some of these similar services, DPW, the utilities and engineering, are under one department head. The other primary change to the description is instead of requiring the position to be a public or professional engineer, that it would be stated that it be preferred that it have that position, such that you could get somebody with a business administration degree or a public administration degree whose primary expertise is in the DPW water utility, sewer utility side of things. It still requires that they have the competency to read all the plans and understand all the engineering, but they don't necessarily have to be. That similarly was one of the options that three of the other communities were using as well to help broaden the pool. Doesn't mean you can't focus on hiring somebody because you've stated it preferred, but it does give you a broader ability to look for the best manager available at the time to manage that spectrum of the broader department that Jack currently oversees.
Mr. City Attorney.
Since I don't do labor council, I didn't read this, but I was just curious whether or not the position description included the requirement that the new position holder have more lifetime achievement awards from all the primary public purpose service agencies throughout the state of Wisconsin than any other city engineer or position holder as described here.
Well, that would require the applicant to be, one, either 75 years old, or two, work at a municipality for 44 years. So
he reached it by the time he was 65.
I think Alderwoman Evans had her hand up first, and then Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Are you concerned you can't find a professional engineer at all? Because you're putting it as a you want it as a preference instead of a requirement.
No, I'm not concerned that we can't find one. But you are limiting your managerial pool to a group of people who came through a certain educational, path. Whereas, if you look at the actual amount of staff that it oversees, the engineering aspect is actually a smaller functional area. So there are many circumstances that you're looking for that strong manager with the DPW background. Doesn't necessarily have to be an engineer, and I think that's supported by the fact that the state statutes don't even require your city engineer to be a professional engineer. The person you designate in that official position doesn't even need to be a professional engineer. So we think it just provides you with a greater opportunity to look at the candidate pool out there. We've stated a preference, and if you get some strong candidates with professional engineering, I would guess you're likely to end up picking one of them. But you may have somebody who comes up with a very strong utility, public works, and just supervisory background that you think, this is nice. In which case, there are, we have two PEs in the department. Lots of engineering work is contracted out. One of the communities in your sample actually eliminated most of their engineering department and are using firms, just as many towns and villages do. So there are a lot of other options to deal with that if it turns out your best candidate is really is heavier on the public works and utilities. So it just opens up our options. Doesn't mean we can't end up right where you are with a strong engineer.
Alderwoman Wilhelm and Alderman Schmidt.
Are we adopting, by doing this, are we also adopting this job description as it's written?
That's the motion incorporated the two pieces. You could put the motion and do the job description and then discuss the consultant.
Yeah, I think I'd like to discuss the job description. Motions are in here the other way around, but right now we're talking about the consultant. So I was in the process of looking for the section where it said by ordinance, because you didn't put by municipal code. The position is appointed by the mayor. I was looking through the Unified Development Ordinance. And I kept running across the city engineer wording was in there throughout that document in hundreds of places about his job, the job duties of the city engineer. And in looking through that, I was just wondering if the job description incorporated enough of what was in the Unified Development Ordinance, because I didn't really see where it went as well with the Unified Development Ordinance as it did with the municipal code. And then there was this italicized phrase that kept popping up right next to the city engineer is supposed to make these decisions based on, quote, italicized, the standards and specifications for development. The city engineer's standards and specifications for development, which I have not ever seen that document. So apparently the city engineer has his own document called Standards and Specifications for Development, which I would be interested in seeing because that might help me understand more of the job description.
It's on the internet.
Okay. I didn't have time to research that, so it wasn't part of all this. It just came across it. So the that was one thing. So I want to make sure that the job description is weighed toward that language, otherwise we're going to have to change the UDO. So if you're saying it's more administrative, and then there's this city engineer's ownership of this document on almost everything that's in the ordinance, does it, the job description, cover enough of those issues? And then it also had things like the city engineer is responsible for bonds and financial securities and letter of credit and soils. And some of those things, well, they are really relate to all engineering type things. They're very broad. So if we're going to have someone come in, you might want to suggest that the person you're hiring actually look through our UDO.
Oh, God, we don't want to scare them away.
Well, I mean, you've got an awful lot of things in there that says that the city engineer is supposed to do. And typically, Jesse does a lot with the bonding stuff, so...
No?
You do it all? Okay, well, see, there's another financial aspect that I didn't think that was spelled out real defined in there. So that was just a thought if you're, you know, when you're doing this, that they're aware of this document and the duties that are within there. Let's see if I had anything else. And then when we move on to this subject, I would like a second chance to talk about the job description in more detail, about the wording.
Anytime you're ready. I mean, it's all under the same agenda item. Sorry, Mark.
I'll wait for some other... Yeah, it's two separate motions, so I'll yield the floor for now.
Mr. Liberta.
So relative to the job description, we were trying to turn this around pretty quickly. So
No.
The changes in the throughout were, other than the two that I talked about, were largely the result of a review that was done in 2007. So we did not, for this purpose, dig into reviewing each section of the essential duties and the necessary knowledge and skills, and do a complete review from scratch of the job description. If you want that done, we can do that, but that will take extra time to do. We had done a internal review back a number of years ago, working with Jack, identifying things that we didn't think were clear, and so that's what it. What we focused on for this was that education and experience and the preference for the preferred engineer. Now, if you're looking at using the outside consultant, one of the first steps they want to know is, do you want us to redo your job description? So that will probably cost you some extra, but we do that's the first step. If you adopt this plan and say, just run with this, they will take this as a document and work their hiring off that. If you want to pay them probably a couple $1,000s extra as part of the cost, they'll take your original documents and they will do that work and, you know, interview Jack, probably interview us, probably the mayor, and pull together what they think is a revised job description and bring it back. So if you're wanting that extra...
No, I just wanted to tell them about the UDO, that there's all kinds of language in there. So here's what it says by law.
So that's what I'm saying. If you're wanting the consultant to rework the job description, you probably don't need to approve this. You can get that consultant on board, and they'll start from scratch and bring back a recommendation of the new job description. You want to keep it moving, recognizing that there are summary documents of the knowledge and skills and essential needs. And the most important piece is we've incorporated, which then you can move it forward now.
I think all of our job descriptions, second to last paragraph, duties listed above intended only as illustrations of the various types of work that may be performed. So...
Then,
and I did hear what you said, Alderman Willem. Being that I'll be in the room, I will make sure that we scare them away by showing them the UDO. Alderman Schmidt, that's okay.
Yeah. Just the thing, you could just cancel insert the standards and specifications of development, but that's the guidelines that he's to follow. I mean, that would be pretty minimal to insert into there.
Let's do that in part of the advertisement. Okay.
That's fine.
Alderman Schmidt, then Alderman Dandria, then Alderman Mayor, Alderman Mayor.
Well, we did, I was part of the extensive discussions on this, both through the public works and with the personnel last night, and I don't think we ever reached a conclusion that the only solution to filling this position was to have it alone. Of Jack Bennett. I mean, we do need some flexibility to seek out candidates because of the way this Jack's position has grown over the 40-some plus years that he's worked here. So I don't know if we totally need to rework this or if allow the future candidates or person that we would hire to exert their own expertise, which may not, they bring in something different other than what Jack brought to the table. So we have to have some flexibility, and that's too why Mr. Liberta referred to the fact that we were not requiring a professional engineer because someone may have other strengths that could be presented to this position that wouldn't necessarily force him to be a professional engineer, provide other insights. So I would make a motion, but I don't know what our motion is. If you're objecting to the position description, that it needs to be altered.
Okay, the way that works is you make a motion. If she doesn't like it, she'll vote no.
At this point, I will make the motion to approve the revised position description for the position of city engineer / director of public works as presented.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Okay, discussion. Let me do what Alderman Dandria, then Alderman Mayor, then Alderwoman Mayor.
Please. Now we're voting on. The motion is for the job description.
Yep.
So we're not talking about the fee yet.
Correct.
That's a separate motion.
Right.
Okay. And so. In regards to the job description, we wanted to give, in our discussion, we wanted to allow staff and the hiring individuals some opportunity to look at a larger pool of clients, okay, potential replacements for Jack's position. And so we didn't want to set the bar so high that we maybe only got one or two candidates, okay, because we set all these parameters into place, and we're saying, you have PE, if you've got this, if you've got public works experience, if you've got soil understandings and all. I mean, that comes in the interview process okay, that the good interviewers, the people that are going to be on that team, would definitely be asking about the knowledge and experience that one would have in these certain areas. So we've got to at least allow a pool to come in. And in a lot of these job descriptions, when you put it out in for notice, it always puts at the end, but not limited to. Okay, so we can scare them when we actually start asking the detailed questions, and we'll, you know, if we've got knowledgeable people that are interviewing, hopefully they'll be able to read through the BS, okay, in an interview. So that's why I think this is adequate to at least get it going and put faith in the interviewers that are going to be out there. So.
Alderman Mayor.
Does this position serve at the pleasure of the mayor?
This is not a contract position, no. It serves the mayor may initiate disciplinary action, but it would take a vote of five of the six aldermen.
Okay.
Close by ordinance, those are the chapter 55.1 of your municipal ordinance identifies the officers of the city and that their term is indefinite, subject to removal by the common council. The three-quarters majority.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Yeah, I just have a question, Alderman D'Andrea. Were you saying that with Alderman Mulham's addition to the job description about the UDO information, that would limit the number of people? Because I understand about not being a PE and that kind of thing. I just don't understand how what she said would limit the pool.
Alderman Dandridge.
She wants to make sure that they're informed about our UDO. So in the process, granted, show it to them. And see if it scares the crap out of them. Okay? But, no, it's just to make sure that the candidate is well informed of how the city of Franklin operates.
Right.
Alderwoman Mayor.
I don't know if
Mark had something
to add. He had something to add to it.
Mr. Liberta.
I was misunderstanding Alderman Mulham. I thought she wanted to make sure that an engineer coming in knew that was a functional responsibility. But it already says follow all city policies and procedures as determined by the common council. So that brings in the ordinances, any resolutions that aren't in the ordinances, the UDO. It brings in everything. He's responsible to follow. Those catch-alls pretty much apply to each of us in our position.
Suffice it to say, we're all aware, and we'll.
And any applicant who makes it far along, they're going to be on our website. They're going to see it right up front. The UDO and the ordinances are right there. It will be hard to miss if you go wandering through the engineering section, the front page, the planning section. They're all pretty accessible.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Okay, I just have one question and then something else. You had the preparation of an annual street reconstruction program underlined, so I'm assuming that's addition. Who did this before?
Those changes were done in conjunction between Dana, Jack, and myself a couple of years back.
It was not delineated in the past document.
But it's added in this one.
Oh, just we felt it was a clarification.
Okay.
He already had that responsibility. It wasn't listed, and we thought that was a useful one because of the prominence it plays during the budget process. And so that was an addition that we thought we should add.
Okay, and then the only other change possibly would be in the first paragraph where it says work directly with the mayor and other elected officials. Can we just clarify that would be common council?
Actually, and not that's just broader than that.
Can we say common council and other elected officials?
If you so choose, sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Mr. Dandridge, do you want to? You made the motion. Are you offering a friendly amendment?
Amended to include common council and other elected officials?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll make that motion.
Who else is elected?
That's what I was wondering.
State reps.
On regional policies relative to water.
Okay, sure.
Mr. City Attorney.
Only that the term elected officials within the local municipality domain is understood to be elected governing body, sometimes the municipal court judge. It's just a term of art. Local municipalities, 1852 in Wisconsin, elected officials mean the governing body. Because everybody else is appointed.
Either way, it doesn't hurt, I don't think. Okay. Well, we've got to do this right. No, the maker of the motion modified his motion, and the second is approved.
I'll agree to it.
Well, Alderman
Mayor
seconded the motion,
okay.
So you can agree with it, but
it
doesn't matter.
Hey, do you agree with it?
So you have to agree
with the motion. Okay. So the motion's been modified and approved by the seconder, so we're still good. And discussion on the motion. Alderwoman Mayor, you've had the floor.
I do not have any more comments. I'd like for you.
Thank you. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Yes, I agree. We should be less generic as a council. I would really support that. There's a small typo in paragraph 3 in infrastructure. So with that correction as well.
For all development and in infrastructure planning and construction. Your suggestion is in should be what?
I think it should be removed. It doesn't sound right.
It's kind of redundant. See that mark?
It's not wrong.
Let's not make that a part of the motion.
But just clean it up.
Yeah, okay. All right. The motion's on the floor to approve the job description is submitted with the change adding and common counsel to the first summary paragraph. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Second part of this was to allow the director of administration and me to go out and start looking. $15,000 max coming from the director of administration's budget. This would be an outside contractor to do a national search. Ostensibly, they'd come back with one, two, or three candidates for us, at which point we would interview. And you're going to ask how we're going to do that. I don't know yet. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
No, I was going to ask you, do we have some people in mind for these consultants?
Mr. Liberta.
The first three people I'll go to is Springstead & Associates. They do a number of these in the area. In fact, they did a similar position for Beloit just recently. Florence Haley there told me that she really liked the process and thought that they did a good job of bringing extra candidates to the table after the process that they ran internally, that they did themselves, didn't give them a result they wanted. I would also look at Public Administration Associates, which is an Oshkosh firm that does a lot of these, a little smaller firm than Springstead, but they do a lot of them, but they just tend to get more results from within Wisconsin boundaries, but they tend to be cheaper, so they're worth talking to. And then the third one I would definitely go to is Voorhees and Associates, which is now a subgroup they've joined with. They've got a bigger name now because they just merged with somebody. But they're more of a national presence, very strong in northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin. So at a minimum, I would do those two others. Florence and Beloit suggested two other firms that they got quotes from. So we would get 3 to 5 separate quotes. The way most of these work is they give you an idea of what their process is. So you're picking from price and process. And like if we decide our job description is already fixed, they can shave that off the front and give you a new price. But they tell you how they're going to do it, where they're going to advertise. Most of them give you a price for their work and a maximum price including all costs.
Are you going to have to bring that back here then?
Not if you give us the authority to go, then the with the presumption, the way we wrote it, since the ordinance says it's the mayor's responsibility to pick this person, we wrote this to keep it moving quickly and just, if he's got to pick it, let him pick the consultant and then he'll bring back the recommendation.
Alderwoman Evans.
Thank you. Can you be a little more specific as to where you're looking to pull the up to $15,000 from in your area?
We have a line item that stays relatively fixed in my budget from year to year that I usually use for attorneys if we need them. I'm generally underspent in that line item by quite a bit. And we never know if we're going to get some arbitration. No, I have been because I do most of it myself. But if we get an arbitration or something, those can be pretty expensive. You can spend $20,000 on one. So I expect that will be able to fund most of it. I'm a little concerned because I do have a pension costs that we have that in regards to my IRS filing. So I'll be pushing that, but I think within that and the remainder of that appropriation unit, I'll either be able to do it or be very, very close.
Alderman Dandridge.
Mark, do you feel that $15,000 is more than sufficient to cover our costs?
Since last Friday, the discussions I've had with various consultants, if I were being cautious, I probably would have written that at $16,500 based upon some discussions I've had, but I'll just have to use a stronger arm.
Now, this is including the finder's fee for the consultant.
Yeah, that's the top fee. I know the Beloit cost when they did it actually was one of the firms a max that would exceed $15,500. And a couple of the firms they got prices were on the higher end. I've already got one quote from somebody that's lower, but again, I think we might call them more services than that. So it's a moderate number. It may limit some of our choices. Or maybe they require us to shave something off the work they do that maybe Dave and I provide support in a certain area to get their price back under.
Alderman Schmidt.
I would like to make the motion to authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute a professional services agreement with the public sector recruitment consultant for the purpose of conducting a national search for a city engineer/director of public works for an amount not to exceed $16,500. To be funded from existing appropriations of the Department of Administration.
Support for that motion?
I'll second it.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Just to let you know, Mark and I got a little bit more work to do, but I fully intend on appointing Ron city engineer.
Interim?
Is what it's got to be appointed as. Interim, very shortly. Mark and I have got some work to do with Ron first. So that'll happen. So it'll be a smooth transition. It's a big job. All right. Item H1, licenses. Alderman Dandridge.
Licensing. Well, what you see in your packet is not what you're going to hear tonight because we didn't get through it all, but we will go through the first page of the licensing committee agenda. So, Kristen Hansen.
So your motion is?
So I'm making a motion to approve. Well, a motion to what, approve the. Well,
read your actions and then.
According to my actions. Okay.
We're okay.
Kristen Hansen, new operator, hold for appearance. Danielle Johnson, deny due to arrests and convictions record substantially related to the licensing activity. Patrick Kelp. Pazic, that's going to be hold for hold for appearance. Well, actually, it's hold for appearance until June 17th, 14.
No, June 10th. Pardon me. June 10th.
17th.
Yeah.
June 10th.
Do I hear an 18?
We don't have a meeting on the 10th. Oh, no. On June 10th, there's a court date for him. But it'll be held to our June 17th meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Aaron Byram, a deny due to being a convicted felon and habitual criminal. Cheyenne Turlan, it's hold for appearance. Laura Applegate, approved. Laura, this is for the 2013-14 period. Then Laura Applegate, approved for the 2014-15 period. Kevin Butler, approved. Holly Case, approved, but update driver's license and file. Kui Rong Zhen, approved, but the file's missing a notary seal. Operator renewal for Ashley Clark, approved, obtained new driver's license. Tecky Della Verte, approved. And the next one on the second page was Kristen Duffy, pulled for appearance. And then we're going to go to page 8 for one approval of a change in description of Class B combination for Robley Tech Inc., doing business as Michelangelo's. We've got approved, pending approval of final inspections.
Page 81 in the package.
That's page 81. Okay. All the other licenses that were brought to the licensing committee are being asked to be delayed until our next meeting.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
All those in favor of the motion, as outlined in this fine report by Alderman Dandridge, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Looks like you got a busy meeting next time. Item I-1, vouchers and payroll. Their motion to approve the net general checking account of the city vouchers ranges 152081 through 152250 in the amount of $954,079.81.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm. Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Is there a motion approving the net payroll dated May 16, 2014, the amount of $321,451.17 and payment of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $215,214.23 plus any city matching payments?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Aye.
Is there a motion approving the net payroll dated May 30th, 2014, estimated at $328,000, and payments of the various payroll deductions estimated at $365,000 plus any city matching payments?
So moved. Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Is there a motion approving property tax refunds ranges 13279 and 13280 in the amount of $787.77 dated May 15th?
So moved. Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman
Daniel. Aye. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Any discussion of the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.